Alonzo takes time, steps out momentarily. One ball, two strikes, Alvarado ready. Looks at second, he kicks the pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out. A 95-mile-an-hour cutter puts away Pete Alonzo.
Mercy.
And the Phillies hang on for a 5-4 win to open the series over the Mets. And they cut that magic number down a little bit further.
Big win for the Phillies last night. Scott Fretzky, Larry Anderson on the call right here on WIP. Five-game lead, Ike Reese in the wild card. Gives us some breathing room to discuss a lot of different things. Is one of the all-time greats to ever put on the Phillies uniform. Larry Boa. Larry, how are you?
All right, guys. How's it going?
What's up, LB?
How's it going, Ike?
Good, brother.
Can you update us on Charlie's health before we dig in?
I talked to him this morning. He's starting to do his rehab. He's having a couple issues with the speech part, but I had no problem on the phone with him. He's in good spirits, and hopefully this recovery continues and the arrow continues to point upward. I mean, it was great, a miracle almost, the way they caught the blood clot in time and everything, and now it looks like he's on his way to hopefully a fast recovery here.
Well, man, give him our best, and I'm sure everybody is sending their best well wishes and everything for him for a speedy recovery. And I know how close you guys are, so yeah, man, I'm pretty sure you've told him this, but let him know, man. We're all out here thinking about him and praying for him, and can't wait to hear him again and see him again.
Yeah, he's feeling the love from everybody. There's no question about that. I think that was great. He gets a little antsy when he gets in those hospitals. He wants to get out of there.
But
he's got to be patient right now, and hopefully he continues to improve like he has the last 3 or 4 days.
Mm. Does he have his iPad so he can tune in and watch some of the games?
Oh yeah, he's got everything going. In fact, Missy said that he made a couple calls to his buddies at 6 in the morning, and he was calling the West Coast, so it was 3 in the morning. So he woke some people up.
Oh, man, that's awesome. All right, so Larry, big night tonight down at Citizens Bank Park as the Phillies are honoring Scott Rolen, putting him on the Wall of Fame. I saw that you had done an interview earlier this week, and you had said that it's time for Philadelphia to kind of turn the page on Scott Rolen, and you expect cheers tonight, and you don't expect any boos. So have you turned the page on Scott Rolen? I know that your relationship when you were the manager was kind of complicated, if I remember.
You know what? As for my end, I didn't think it was complicated at all. I made a statement once when we were playing Tampa down there, and we were playing really good baseball, and we didn't score any runs or very few runs in a 3-game series. And Bill Collin happened to be the writer then. And he says, "What's going on?" I said, "Man, the middle of the lineup's killing us right now." And, obviously Scotty got upset at that. But, and I told him, I said, "I'm not talking just about you, Scott. I'm talking about Bobby and Pat Burrell, and the wrong choice of words probably for me. But that's the only really problem I ever had with him. I love the way he played. Like I said, if we had 9 Scott Rolens, he'd be in the playoffs every year. He played the game the right way. He respected the game. He played hard. Tremendous infielder, great base runner. People don't realize how good a base runner he was. And I don't mean, stealing 40 bases. I mean stretching singles into doubles, scoring from first on a double, good secondary leads, breaking up double plays. He did everything. I played next to the greatest of all time for me is Mike Schmidt, and defensively Scott Rolen's right there. Scotty might have had a little better arm than Mike.
Larry, do you think that maybe Scott played, if you were to play 10 years later in Philadelphia, he would have been looked at a lot differently, right? Like during the time, Phillies didn't have a lot of great players. He was the rookie of the year, right? Like, and as you tried to build the team, maybe a different time with a different team, Scott would have been looked at differently, and he would have maybe been more comfortable in the city.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, he wanted to win, and he didn't think the Phillies – this is just my opinion. He didn't think the Phillies – we're all in on winning right away. And, in fairness to the Phillies, you can't let a guy like Scott Rolen walk away and get a draft pick. So they offered him a nice contract. He said no. And then we end up getting 3 players from St. Louis. And, of course, Scott went on to win a World Series with the Cardinals. So, that would have been, it's a different generation now that come to the games than back back then.
You
know, let's face it. Hey, they booed the greatest player of all time to put on a Philly uniform.
Yeah,
Mike Schmidt. So I mean, it's. I think what happens is you appreciate a guy when he leaves, and towards the end of their career, like Schmidt, he was finally, people said, hey, this guy might be one of the greatest ever, and they appreciated what he did. And I think this is the same thing with Scott. You know, I think you look at his career, and we were very lucky to have him early, and he was the first to say, hey, I learned how to play baseball the right way in Philadelphia. So, you know, hopefully he gets a nice ovation tonight. You know, like I said, he's had a great career. And for me, when I was managing that team, he was like the backbone of that team. Now, you put him in the three hole and just leave it. You know, he's going to play every day. You know, he's going to post every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting into the not only the Philly Wall of Fame, but obviously the Hall of Fame, obviously is a tremendous honor.
Yeah, I think, LB, when I see this thing, because I was actually a player during that time, so I remember what that was like. And honestly, Scott Rolen and Eric Lindros was like my first introduction to a star player here, not necessarily being received as like a hero or some or what have you. And I was a young player sitting back watching that. And now that I reflect back on it, I guess the long way of getting to what I'm trying to say to you is, or my take on this is that there is – a part of the fan base that sort of feels that they weren't necessarily appreciated or they may have been abandoned at a time that it was a rough time to be a Phillies fan for what was perceived to be the face of the franchise at the time.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
I mean, we were ready to build our ball club around Scott. I mean, you had a superstar player, and the fact that he, you know, it came out, I don't think he made it a point to come out that, you know, he wanted to get traded, and, you know, as we all know, the rest is history. But I just feel that at that time, Scott really was he really wanted to leave because, again, he didn't think we were all in right away. And I get that part. He'd gone through a bunch of losing seasons. You know, Terry Francona was going to be a Hall of Fame manager. He had to manage that group, and it had to be tough losing all those games all the time. And you know, when you're a real good player, you're looking around, you're saying, man, I don't want to do this my whole career. And you know, he was younger, frustrated a little bit about maybe the direction of the team at that time, but you know, it all turned out good, especially for him. I just think that time heals all wounds, and I really believe this guy, hey, like I said, I'll take nine of them and go to battle every night. He just knew how to play. He knew how to. The one thing that stands out in my mind is if he ever got hit by a pitch and he thought somebody was throwing at him, I didn't want to be a shortstop or second baseman. He would and clean. I mean, it was clean, but his mission was, I'm going to knock somebody down out here, and he did. And you know, a big moment I think is the first day back after. The first game back after 9/11, okay. He had a great game against Atlanta. He hit two home runs. And, you know, he didn't like showing up the other team. This guy played the game the way you're supposed to. And he was getting this ovation. And I said, Scotty, you got to tip your cap, man. He goes, no, Bo. He says, you know, I don't do that. I said, this is special. This is different. And he went out and he acknowledged the fans. He tipped his hat. They gave him a standing ovation. That was a big moment, I think. And, people realize that, hey, this guy, he's a good guy. He just, you know, at that time, he wanted to get out. He wanted to play on a team that was going to win right away.
I'm glad you just brought up what you brought up, because I think it helps me into asking you this question. And it's really, I don't even know what the answer is going to be. You seem to have somewhat of a better feel for him as a person, and what his true feelings may be like. I don't know how much communications you've been in with him, but from the fans that we've spoken to and the sense that I get is that I think fans aren't going to have as much of a problem showing him appreciation tonight. It's a celebratory night. But I think what fans want to know, LB, is did he appreciate them and love playing here in Philadelphia? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do know that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But you know what? I've actually heard him when I was managing. At the time, he liked the city as far as being a blue-collar city. Because this guy wasn't afraid to get his uniform dirty. I'm sure there were times when you're younger, And if a fan boos or something, you take it personal. There's no question about it. I did it. Schmitty did it. Bull mm-hmm. did it. Scott did it. And you know what? He came from a small town, and this is a pretty tough city to play in when you first come up.
Yeah.
And if things don't go right, hey, let's face it. They're going to let you know that they don't like the way you're playing.
Sure.
To me, I look back on all the guys that got booed, all the teams that got booed. I think it's a compliment when you get booed sometimes because they're expecting more out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you weren't a real good player and you were doing what you did, a lot of them times they wouldn't even react to what you were doing. The fact that they boo and they're not happy with the way things are going, sometimes, you know, you got to take two steps back and say, these guys care. The fans care. Mm-hmm. And I know we went to a city where they rarely boo. I mean, St. Louis, you could lose 20 in a row. I don't think I've ever heard him boo.
Very positive.
So, I mean, it was a point in his career where maybe he felt, hey, this is the kind of environment I want to play in now. Mm-hmm. But I think looking back, if he would have known what was coming with Jimmy and Chase and Howie, and you put him at third base. Wow.
How about that infield, Larry?
I mean, that's a wow. That's a big wow right there. but, you know, nobody can see in the crystal ball. They didn't know what was going on. And so I think this is that's how this thing really played out for him.
Yeah.
And I think he knows this is a good baseball city. There's no question about that.
Okay.
I think he knows they appreciate good play there, and they're going to let you know when you don't hustle. But he never got booed for lack of hustle. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yep,
that's for sure. We're talking to the great Larry Boa as the Phils game two of the series this weekend against the Mets. Larry, hey, listen, we have 2 weeks to go in the season, not even. Mm-hmm. How you feeling about the team as we head into the playoffs here?
I like where we're at. I like things that are happening. And I'm looking at those teams that are involved with the other wild card, the two other wild cards. They're young, they're good, but they have no idea what they're going to get into coming here for three games. you know, I think, and you know, when you're that kind of team, like Cincinnati, Miami, Chicago, a lot of times when you get in, you take a big sigh and say, hey, we made it. So their mission is going to be very difficult, whoever we play coming here for three games. I'm more concerned about the next round. I'm not conceding anything, saying, oh, this is over. I mean, we got to go out and play, obviously. But, you know, obviously Atlanta's real good. The Dodgers are real good. So I'm looking for us to make a deep run here. I like the way we're swinging the bats. There's no question about that. Noah's last outing was good. Wheeler's been – when Wheeler amps it up another notch, he's close to unhittable. Rangers throwing the ball good. I like our bullpen. So I think there's a lot of – good things that are happening right now, and the quicker we can, you know, lock up this, which I think is a foregone conclusion, this first wild card, then we can set our sights on who we're going to play.
Larry Boa.
The one team that sort of, they don't scare me, but they got two left-handed pitchers, the Cubs, in that rotation, and, you know, a lot of our damage is done from the left side
right.
of the plate. If they crank up some good games, it could be interesting, but the other teams, I'm not really concerned about. I'm really not concerned, but about any of those. But
they could be dangerous.
Yeah. You can't take those teams lightly because they're very energetic. They're young. They're going to bring a lot of energy, but they've never faced a crowd that they're going to be facing
right.
when they come in here at Citizens Bank Park. I mean, you can prepare them. You can tell them what it's going to be like until you're actually there. And they're going to witness that real quick.
Yeah, for sure. I remember you telling us down in spring training this year, Castellanos was going to have a big bounce back year. Man, he's been really good. He had a bomb last night again.
He did, and you know what? The other thing that I think he's made unbelievable strides in, his defense has been really good, and he's worked hard. And Paco Figueroa, the outfield guy, has done a lot of work. It started in spring training, and you guys go out early now. You'll see him continuously taking ground balls out there and fly balls. This guy's worked very hard to become a very good outfielder, and the hard work's paying off. But you got a guy like him hitting down there at 6th, 7th, you know, in a lineup. You got a lineup that's very difficult to get through, believe me.
For sure. Larry, appreciate it, man. Before you go, are you concerned about the Eagles' passing offense? You're a sportsman. Can they win running the football like they're doing?
Yeah. The Eagles are going to blow this team out Monday night. I know that. So So I'm not even worried about that game.
All right.
I tell you what, I watch the 49ers. 49ers look pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have a little revenge factor when they – I think they have to come here.
Yeah, they do. Yep. So, they do.
That'll be a fun game to watch. But I think the Eagles are going to be fine. And I think Hurts, he's going to get his act together. We're going to be fine there.
All right. There he is, the great Larry Bowe. I heard the dog barking in the background. Yeah, how's Patty and the family doing? Everybody's good?
Everybody's good. And anybody that comes close to this door, you might as well forget it. So.
Great to talk to you, Larry.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, brother. Larry Bowe, I could talk to him all day. Love him. Great stuff, Larry Bowe.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because he said that the whole thing with Scott Rolen tipping the cap, and Larry's like, no, like fans need that, right? Like,
of course. What other way are fans going to know that you're acknowledging their appreciation for you?
And he just, like, him not being comfortable with that is that's what we want to do. We want to feel like there's some kind of connection with our players. There's a huge connection with Bryce Harper. There's a big connection with a lot of players on this team, and it never felt like that with Scott.
Nah, Scott needs to, and I didn't want to go. I could have went further into it with LB just talking about it. I don't know if he's going to speak at some point today or what have you, but for me, he hasn't mended any fences or anything.
I haven't heard one word
from him. So you haven't heard him talk glowingly about how great it was for him, his time playing here in Philadelphia. He's coming back here for a huge weekend, and we're worried about whether or not we should give him a damn standing ovation. I haven't heard one thing about the city and how he enjoyed playing here. So why would a fan feel obligated to show that type of adulation to a player if there isn't some sort of at least media blitz or something where he's talking about his time here?
Right.
If we're just expecting him to show up tonight, sight unseen, hadn't heard from him in almost 20 years, and he's supposed to receive this warm ovation tonight? Like, you got to get a fan something. You got to let these fans know that, hey, maybe it didn't end well, and I was young and may have said some things that I certainly regret now, but I appreciate how you guys were demanding and how you want your athletes to play, and I didn't notice at that time. Like, you got to do something. You can't go to another city and call it baseball heaven. That's spitting in the face of these fans. You can't do that and then come back.
Yeah, just in baseball hell.
Well, then come back and act like nothing ever happened and expect everybody to give you a standing ovation.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure that – I mean,
So I would have liked for at least some sort of communication from him
– leading up to it so you
talking
knew
about
what you were
tonight.
Getting,
right. Yes. Hell, bring him on WIP. Something.
Yeah. Jack, I mean, he speaks.
Is he speaking tonight?
He'll say something on the field before, right?
Yeah, he's going to talk a speech.
Okay, so.
Yeah. To be fair, like, when he's been asked about Philly in the past, he said, like, I grew up there. Like, he says Philly's his home. Like,
we don't see that. What do you mean Philly's his home? What is Scott Rolen in Philly is his home? What is that?
But
that doesn't connect with anybody. Those are just words.
But if you were Scott Rolen, why would you come back here? Like, why would you come back here? Like,
I'm a fan, why do I need to kiss his ass because he's coming back here today?
No one's asking you to kiss his
ass. Why, you wanted to give him a standing ovation?
Not a round of applause. There was no standing ovation.
Come on, man. Like, let's not disrespect the fans here. Like, give the fans a little bit of credit. We know he's going in the Hall of Fame. He didn't do that here.
Right.
He didn't win a World Series here.
And honestly.
And he left on bad terms.
And the Phillies are bringing him back because he went into the Hall of Fame, and this makes the Phillies look better because they drafted a Hall of Famer that was a rookie of the year.
That's all I'm saying. You gotta give us a little something. So, you gotta placate us a little bit.
So, I mean, and I'll say this. I don't really feel like anybody, really cares about this tonight. Like, they're going down to the game. He'll get an ovation. He deserves an ovation. Does anybody really care? Is anybody going to say, like, oh, man, we got to go celebrate Scott Rolen's Phillies career. Let's get tickets to the Mets game coming up on the 22nd of September.
Right.
I can't imagine many people are doing that.
I
have no interest. Like, honestly, Scott, I wouldn't boo him. I wouldn't go to the game either. I have no interest in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't boo him. I'm not saying you should boo him. No. Don't get me wrong there, and I'm with you on that. I just, when I hear, because I got so much respect for Larry Bowe, and I can respect and appreciate everything he's saying. He knew Scott Rolen. I just wish there was more of a connection there with Scott Rolen and his fan base, so tonight could be a feel-good moment tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
No, we're just going through the motions.
Like to me, my first memories of life are the Phillies winning the World Series in 1980.
Yes.
I've loved the Phillies since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I love the Phillies. I have no connection to Scott Rowland. I have no interest in this tonight. At all. At all. I'm not going to watch it. It's on Apple TV, so I don't even know how to get it, first of all. And Jack, there's great college football on tonight as well, which I have to be watching.
No, you don't.
The Purdue
and you
even, playing.
You didn't even know Phillies baseball enough to even know Scott Rowland.
It's not about that for me. For
I'm just saying. My point is, you're young enough to that. And you're not even young, quite frankly.
Some say I'm almost 30.
Yeah, you're almost 30.
My first Phillies were Utley, Rollins, Howard, and Hamels.
Yep.
I guess my only thing with the Rowland thing, I just don't want it to be a step back for the city.
It's not going.
No, you don't want it to be a black eye on the city. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
And I don't think the fans are going to do that. Yeah, the fans won't do that.
Like, here's the thing. People want to go down to the game tonight to see the Phillies play the Mets.
Yes.
I'd be very surprised if anyone bought tickets to go boo Rowland.
No, I don't
cheer
see
him,
that.
Or cheer him.
I'll tell you what, though, the Phillies, they did a nice – this thing is happening early.
6:20.
Yeah. So I don't know how many people are going to be there. The game starts when, Jack?
7:05.
You got 40 minutes before that game actually starts.
I know. I wouldn't even be in the house yet. Yep. All right. Well, there you go.
All right.
So I'll be in the car with it coming home. And by the way, Scott Rowland's not a Hall of Famer. How about that on top of it? And I don't want to make this negative. When I was watching I was watching Scott Rowland play, I never thought I was watching an all-star. I thought I was watching a very good player.
Hall of Famer.
Well, he's an all-star.
A Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yes. I never thought I was watching a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching an all-star.
Yeah.
You know, like an above average player.
Yeah.
You know, Roger Clemens, Barry
and
Bonds.
Believe me, he played for my Reds too, so I'm with you there.
I mean, listen, he was a winner. He won championships. I never viewed him as that. I was surprised when he got in. There's a number of players that deserve to be in before him. Andrew Jones isn't a Hall of Famer. Andrew Jones, better player than Scott Rowland ever was.
Scott Rowland, Jimmy Rollins.
Better player?
Yeah.
Rowland.
I'm surprised. You actually surprised me there. I thought you would go... Hold on, did you say Rowland or Rollins?
I said Rowland.
I thought you said Rowland.
I think Utley's better than
Rowland. I heard Rollins in my head, but you said Rowland. That's why I had to ask you twice. Like, hold
honestly,
on, what did you say?
I think they're very similar. You can
they got to be close.
You can put together numbers that put Jimmy Rollins in the Hall of
right.
Fame. You can say, like, well, no other player has done this, 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 and this, and this. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's how Scott Rowland got in
so
the Hall.
So if Scott Rowland is in, J-Row or Chase should be in, right? Or both. Well, Chase certainly shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but I know you want to make.
He is not.
He'll get in. Don't worry. That campaign's coming soon, buddy. I got Trey Turner out of the way. You know, now it's time to focus on Chase.
I just want to be more selective when putting players in the Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying.
Well, in baseball, it used to be the hardest Hall of Fame to get
in. Yeah, now it's above average.
Yeah, it used to be the hardest Hall of Fame.
All right, 215-592-9494. We officially
baseball talk.
Get back to the
phones. No one better.
215-592-9494. Overreacting to the beginning of the season. Yes.
Yeah, let's get back to some important
stuff.
Or
no. Yes, very important stuff. And your reaction to Scott Rowland. Carte blanche, if you're going down tonight specifically because you want to give Scott Rowland a roaring round of applause, we want to hear from you. 215-592-9494.
Rowland jerseys going to be back out tonight?
There will be Rowland jerseys out tonight.
27?
Yes.
How about that?
He looked like a linebacker.
He wasn't 27?
He was 17 here. He's 27 for the Cardinals.
He was 17 here?
Yeah, Reese Hoskins' number.
No.
I don't think I would have guessed it.
Now, did they retire since? They retire 17?
I thought he was 27.
That's
okay,
probably
so he
next.
Wasn't 27.
He was 27 as your Reds.
I like, got you, but it's all the same colors, too, by the way.
Right.
And he's a Blue Jay for a year.
We don't even remember that.
That's when he first came back, I think, was as a Blue Jay. No, he would have come back as a Cardinal. Remember he opened the car door for Harry? Yeah, for Harry, and he got booed. It was bad. 215-592-9494. All right, back to your phone calls coming up next.
No wonder they're worried about tonight.
For sure.
Yeah, they got little John Marks coming down to the stadium tonight.